Good morning. Today's daf is Sukkah Yud Zayin, 17th page of the Masechta. We are on the very top of the Amud. We're in the Mishnah. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned L'Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We are going to spend nearly an entire day discussing the topic of Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is a topic which has come up before in the Masechta. We're not new to it, but it comes to us in the form of a Mishnah. This is a primary Mishnah which discusses the topic of Dofen Akuma. So let us begin. So you take the walls and you move them at a distance of three tefachim away from the schach. So the walls and the schach do not greet one another. We are not talking vertically. Rashi makes this clear in the very beginning. We're now talking horizontally. In other words, if there's no greeting between the walls and the schach vertically, that's fine. That's not a problem at all. In fact, we just learned yesterday that there could be a great distance between the walls and the schach if we're talking about a horizontal greeting. Sorry, a vertical greeting. That's no problem whatsoever. In fact, the Gemara earlier, if you remember all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Dalid, so the Gemara says, well, a lot of people loved it because it provided air and a little bit of fresh air into the sukkah. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where horizontally they did not meet one another. And the Mishnah says that if there are three tefachim separating the schach from the wall, so the Mishnah says that's no good psul, that would be already disqualified. Three tefachim, what do we know about three tefachim? So as we've discussed time and again, three tefachim now, you have left the world of lavud, meaning anything shorter than three tefachim is approximately 9 to 12 inches. So anything shorter than three tefachim, so is lavud. We have the principle of lavud. Lavud tells us that when I have two items, objects, that are within three tefachim one another, it's as if it's closed. It's a closed gap. But over here, once it's now no longer three tefachim, so now it's not a closed gap. Now it's airspace. And what basically we're learning in the Mishnah is that airspace on your sukkah is going to be a post, so it's going to disqualify. And the shear of avir is going to be three tefachim. Fine. Bayishinivchas, fine. That's so the Mishnah just kind of gets us grounded. Meaning, so in terms of an orientation, we're no longer talking about the vertical, we're talking now about the horizontal, and the Mishnah says that once I have three tefachim of air separating the wall and the schach, so the schach, so the sukkah is no longer good. Now what the Mishnah is going to do is as follows. Let's fill it in. Let's fill in that air with something. So what are we going to fill it in with? It doesn't matter. And as we're going to see in the Mishnah, although the Gemara suggests that it may matter, but when all said and done, it won't matter. As long as we fill in that airspace with something, so now we're going to have a concept, and that's the concept of Dofen Akuma. What the Mishnah is going to do is the Mishnah is going to give us three different scenarios in which we're going to say Dofen Akuma. First, I'll read the scenarios. We'll try our best to describe scenarios. If you have pictures, better than any description I can give, because you actually get to see it inside. And then we're going to discuss and explain and explore a little bit Dofen Akuma. So the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, Maisha Nivchas, let's say I have a house that caved in. Okay, so the house no longer has a roof. So like always in life, take a negative and turn it into a positive. So I no longer have a functional house. Okay, that's a negative. Okay, but I can make a sukkah. What a positive. So Baish Nifchas, so if I have a house where the roof collapsed, where the roof caved in, and so basically now if you want a picture, again, if you have a picture, that's great. But if you want a picture, basically now I have a house with a collapsed roof. But there's still edge of roof around the perimeter on the top. So, v'sichach al gabav, and I lay schach right on the top of it. So now, if the distance between the wall, the vertical wall, and the schach is 4 amos, it'd be possible. But obviously what the Mishnah is also saying is that if it's less than 4 amos, so then it'd be kosher. Now remind you, we're talking about amos. We're talking about the distance of 4 full amos. An amos 6 tefachim. So an amah is approximately 1.5 to 2 feet. Just for simplicity's sake, let's just say 2 feet. So now you're talking about an eight foot distance from the wall to the actual schach. But in here, it's not air; it's the remnants of the of the roof. So the Mishnah says, as long as it's less than 4 tefachim, as long as it's less than 4 amos, it'd be fine. Only if it's 4 amos or greater than 4 amos, would it be possible. V'chein, okay, so that's scenario number one. So scenario number one had us with a house where the roof collapsed, and I laid schach where the roof collapsed, and the Mishnah says as long as the distance between wall and schach is less than 4 amos, you're fine. Scenario number two. V'chein, chaser shiyimu kefetz achsadra. Let's say I have a courtyard that is surrounded by achsadra. It's basically surrounded by mirpeset, balconies, on all sides of the chatzer. So again, just to help us visualize, just to help us envision, Rashi spends a significant amount of time on this Mishnah trying to describe it for us. Again, if you have a picture, it's extremely helpful. In fact, Rashi tries so hard to explain to us, in other words, without the help of an actual picture. So Rashi says, do you want to see it? He says, go to a cloister. And Rashi says this. So Rashi says, go to a cloister. I mean, obviously, we're talking 12th century France, but he says, Rashi says, go to a cloister and you'll see exactly what we're describing. So, you know, Rashi realizes that a picture over here would be very helpful. So Rashi says, go on a field trip. Okay. The only cloister I know is up in Washington Heights. Oh, you're right? You're familiar with that one?
Sure.
Okay, fine. So they took us there when I was a kid. So I don't remember much. Tapestries, big tapestries. Okay, anyway. So, but in scenario number two, you have a chatzer. So a chatzer is an enclosed area. Just for the purpose of our discussion, usually a chatzer is closed in on four walls. But right now, let's assume that's closed in on three walls. Fine. And now what I have is these walls obviously have a twofold purpose. In other words, these walls are walls for a house, but also these walls are creating an interior space for the chatzer. And what I do now is I have a merpeset going out, extending out from every one of the sides of the chatzer. Fine. So now people can walk on the merpeset, people can walk under the merpeset, whatever the case is. So now what I do is I lay schach on the top of the achsaj, on the top of the merpeset, so that the schach now creates basically a sukkah in the area of the chatzer. So once again, the Mishnah is going to make the same point. If the chatzer is surrounded by an achsadra, the same thing would be true. Meaning that as long as the distance between the wall of the chatzer and where the schach is less than 4 amos, so then you're fine. If it's 4 amos or greater, so then it's no good. And then the third scenario in the Mishnah, sukkah gadol, shikifu b'davar she'masachem bo, let's say I have a large sukkah. And what do? On the perimeter, again, we're talking about the horizontal, on the horizontal perimeter, so I lay out material which cannot be used for schach. So for our purposes, let's say it's made out of metal. So I create a perimeter that cannot be used for schach, it's made out of metal, but I don't do that to fill up the entire roof, because then obviously it'd be no good. I just create a perimeter. So then the Mishnah says, so once again, same point. And that is that I'm laying schach now in the center of this large sukkah. So if the distance between the wall and the schach is 4 amos or greater, so then it would be no good. If the distance between the wall and the schach is less than 4 amos, so then it would be fine. Okay. The Mishnah doesn't say the magic words. The magic words to all this is dofen akuma. Dofen akuma, I mean, the Gemara is going to say it, but the Mishnah doesn't say it, but that's the magic in all this. Dofen akuma, let's just translate the words. The words mean dofen akuma, bent wall. In other words, essentially what we're saying is the following. In all three of these scenarios, basically I don't have a greeting of the schach and the wall. Fine. The Mishnah is telling us that as long as they're at a distance of less than 4 amos, so then what we're going to enjoy to say is the following. We're going to benefit from saying that the wall made a turn. The vertical wall going up made a left-hand turn, or right-hand, depending on which way I need to go, but it made a left-hand turn. And even though now the wall, which normally goes vertically, goes horizontally, as long as that horizontal bend is less than 4 amos, I will say that bend is really considered part of the wall. Okay. In fact, Rashi says, the pshat that I just offered to you is the correct pshat. Rashi does offer another pshat, but Rashi says that's an incorrect pshat. Let's take a look inside of Rashi. Rashi over here basically is going to describe how dofen akuma works. Now, how do we know about dofen akuma? So the answer to that question was revealed to us earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara says, dofen akuma is halach l'Moshe Mitzrayim. In other words, this is not something which was innovated, invented. This is part of the tradition. Halach l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Moshe went up to get the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a host of halachas connected with a wall, as he did with Shir and as he did with Chatzitza. The Gemara lumped those three areas of halacha together, and included in which is this halacha of Dofen Akuma. And as far as 4 amos are concerned, that's also part of the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Fine. So in other words, the source of this is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The explanation for this, that's coming out of Rashi. Rashi now is going to basically explain to us, how it is that Dofen Akuma works. Well, I gave it away, but let's see it inside. Rashi writes Psula, it's the second Rashi, where Rashi goes through a description of how Dofen Akuma works. Rashi says, the Aver Posel B'Shal Shafilu Menatzad, air is a posel, air disqualifies even if the air is up against the side of the sukkah. Rashi says, you know what I see from here? I see from here that first halach in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is not even talking about Dofen Akuma. The Mishnah is just simply saying that I can't have three tefachim of air between the wall and the schach. Rashi says, what we get from here is a hint to how Dofen Akuma works. Rashi says, Umikan ani omer. So Rashi is telling us that I'm saying, when Rashi is saying I'm saying, it means that this is my explanation, this is the way I understand it, and you're not going to see this in the Gemara, but here's how I understand it. That which we say that when I don't have schach kasher, which contiguous to the wall, but I have schach pasul, like all the cases we described in the Mishnah, lahachshir ad arba amos, and we say that it's fine up to four amos, up to but not including. So here's what we're saying. That schach, and I know Rashi calls it schach, but it's not, meaning because it's schach pasul for whatever reason. Wrong material, boards are too wide, whatever the case is. Right? Rashi calls it schach, but it's not. Ki'ilu min hadofen. So Rashi says, the way we're viewing that horizontal, that's contiguous to wall, is that it's part of the wall. Venechfach lamala. And basically what happened? Wall took a turn. Meaning up to four amos, we can say that I know it's horizontal, but it's part of the wall. In other words, it just happens to be that the wall just took a little bit of a bend, but that's fine. I still consider it to be wall. So basically the way Rashi understands Dofen Akuma is that once you make that 90 degree turn and you're going now on the horizontal axis, Rashi says that's wall. Rashi says, how do I know that? So he says, uva avira like lamemra hachi. Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Because look at the first ruling of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if it's not actually filled in with material, but let's say it's three tefachim of airspace, Mishnah says it's no good. Rashi says, uh-huh. So what do you see? You see, because by three tefachim of airspace, we no longer can make that left-hand turn. No. In other words, with three tefachim of airspace, what's happening now is the wall goes up, and three tefachim, we no longer have lavud, so now it's disjointed. So now I can't say that horizontal turn is connected to the wall. It must be, therefore, says Rashi, that the way Dofen Akuma operates is basically the wall goes up, and the wall just simply made a small left-hand turn. And that's how Dofen Akuma works. Now, good. That's Rashi's understanding of Dofen Akuma. Rashi says, here's what I'm gonna reject. Rashi's gonna tell us, however, what he rejects. The Einim Afarish Rowan is a Dofen Ki'ilu Hi Akum. But don't say, says Rashi, that basically what happened is that the wall goes up on a slant. Meaning the wall's perpendicular to the ground, it's going straight up, and I have a little now. I have a little L bracket. Don't say that the way Dofen Akuma works is that instead of going up and making a 90 degree turn, what Dofen Akuma allows us to do is basically say the wall now is slanted. And the wall is really going on a diagonal and hitting the point of the schach, meaning from the ground to the schach, we're going to create like a triangle where the hypotenuse, it's an imaginary line, where basically the base of the wall is going to follow a hypotenuse going all the way up to the point of schach. And that will be how Dofen Akuma works. Rashi says, we're not going to say that. V'holech tachas haschach pasol. U'magia l'schach kasher. U'motzi es apsum en asukah. Rashi says, I reject that out of hand. Why? Why do I reject that? Dimkein gabi avir nami nimahachi. Because if that is the way Dofen Akuma works, so then what difference would it make if I have a little gap of three tefachim of air? Right? Think about it. Meaning, let's not have a bend in the wall. Let's just have a regular wall. I have a regular wall going up. And there's a three tefach airspace in the vertical wall going up. Is that going to disqualify my sukkah? No, that's fine. There's no problem with that. So if that were true regarding a little gap in the wall, and the way that I view Dofen Akuma is that Dofen Akuma basically allows us to tilt the wall so that now, instead of a perpendicular, I now have an imaginary line going from the base to the tchach on that imaginary hypotenuse. So then, well, who cares if there's a little gap of airspace over there? That shouldn't make a difference. Rashi says, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah tells us that a three-gap airspace disqualifies, gives us now the understanding, the proper understanding of what Dofen Akuma is. Dofen Akuma is basically, we watch the wall go up, and then we just simply say that that left-hand turn is still part of the wall. But what essentially what we're saying is that we're going up, we're making a left-hand turn, we are following the actual wall, and we're not creating any type of imaginary line, nor are we creating any type of hypotenuse. That is what Rashi rejects. And Rashi is rejecting that based on our Mishnah. Okay. So far, so good. Yeah. Okay. That's the understanding of Dofen Akuma according to Rashi. There are perhaps other ways to say it, but for our purposes, you see what Rashi accepted, you see what Rashi rejected. We saw why Rashi accepted and rejected accepted one, rejected another. Okay. The Gemara starts off, Kol Hanil Amali. Gemara has a very simple question. Three examples in the Mishnah of Dofen Akuma. Okay, that's too many. If the Mishnah wants to make a point, the Mishnah could just simply make the point by giving one example and one illustration. The Mishnah does not. The Mishnah gives three examples, three illustrations, where basically in all these scenarios, we're basically going to say that as long as the horizontal bend is not greater or equal to 4 amos, so then we're going to say Dofen Akuma. Case number one in the Mishnah was the case of the house where the roof collapsed. Case number two in the Mishnah is I had the achsadra. I had the chatzir that was surrounded by mirpes on all three sides, and I just laid the schach on top. Case number three in the Mishnah is I have an enormous sukkah, and along the perimeter, instead of starting with schach, I start with schach pasul, or metal beams. And then I just lay the schach on top of that. In all three of those cases in the Mishnah, as long as the distance between the wall and the schach is not greater or equal to 4 amos, so then it's fine. Why three cases? Why does the Mishnah have to illustrate this with three cases? Kol hani lamali, tricha. So the Gemara says all these cases are necessary because case number two is going to tell us a chish which we would not necessarily have known from case number one, and case number three is going to extend the chiddush to what we would not have known had we only had cases one and two. Case number one, kol hani lamali tricha diash mina baish nivchas. If I only had case number one where the house collapsed, Mishum dehane mechitzos abayis avidan. Look, those walls, what were they created for? Obviously the interior, meaning the whole purpose of those walls were for the interior. Now obviously wall serves two purposes. In other words, it creates an interior space, and the wall also protects us from the elements from the outside. But generally speaking, when we talk about the functionality of walls, what we're really looking at is the interior space that it's creating. So in the first case of the Mishnah, by Shenifchas, so those walls are primarily for the interior. And now the roof collapsed. But I'm not changing direction, meaning I'm now creating a sukkah in the interior. So here, I can easily make an argument, or not easily, but it's easier to make an argument that the schach that I placed on the top of the collapsed roof and the walls, which anyway were used for the interior space, are going to be good walls for the sukkah. And, well, it affords us also to view that bend. That bend is going in for Dofen Akuma. Good. That's the direction we were going in anyway. That's in case number one. Of Achatzer Mukefetz Achsadra. But now let's go to case number two in the Mishnah. Or case number two, at the Chatzer. See, those walls were not primarily built for the Chatzer. The Chatzer is just it's a side benefit. Those walls are primarily built for the houses. So there, the mechitzos lav l'achsadra avida, those mechitzos were not primarily built for the achsadra. So aim alone. So I might have thought no, meaning I might have thought that walls can bend into an area which anyway we were planning to make those walls were intended for. But here we're going now in the other direction. We're going to the outside side of the wall. There I might have made the argument, and we're not going to say Dofen Akuma, because that's not the bend in which it was originally intended to be made for. was originally intended to be made for the interior of the house, not for the exterior of the chatzir. So I might have thought the hava mina would have been that dofen akuma wouldn't work over there. So the Gemara says, good, that's case number one and number two. Number two gives us a chiddush over case number one. What about case number three? Case number three gives us another chiddush. Look, in cases one and two, the material that we used was sukkah acceptable material. Maybe the beams were too wide, whatever the disqualification was. But the actual material that was used was schach worthy. But in case number three, I gave the example we used metal beams. Okay, I just used it as an example. But the point is that there, that never would qualify as chach. So aim alow. I might have, again, a havamina, I might have thought that we're not going to be able to say dofen akuma over there. Dofen akuma would only be if I have at least material that would have been good for schach. So there, I can both literally and figuratively bend the rules. Right? In other words,
but if you thought you could for schach, you're not using the schach.
Right.
Okay, so it's too understood.
No,
it's too. It's. I understand. Good. You got that because you know the conclusion. Again, this is just the Havamina of the Gemara. I'm just explaining the Havamina of the Gemara. It's, I mean, you could argue with the Havamina, but that's just, this is what the Gemara is suggesting as why I would have thought otherwise. So in case number three, where the schach itself isn't even material that's qualified as schach, so I might have thought, we're not going to say dofen akuma, because that material would never have been fit for a sukkah, and I can't bend the wall under such a circumstances. So
that's the first case. That's exactly the first case, Baish Nefchas.
Yeah, but the Gemara's assumption by Baish Nefchas is that the roof is made out of wood.
Which is
possible without slate. All right. And Rashi, right. Rashi introduced, right.
Wood slats, something like a
slate. Yeah. Yeah. And they were presented over there as roof, as roof material. Here, right, I'm using metal. And metal never would be good. And David points out, and Rashi says it, that in the third case, meaning if I'm using metal, that never would qualify. So now it's there, but it never was intended for schach. Again, it's a havamina. It's what I would have thought. Why I need the third case tzricha? So the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that's why the Mishnah goes through all three cases. Okay, all said and done, doesn't matter what the material is, doesn't matter why I laid it down. Bottom line is that the material, as long as it's less than four amos. So then we get to enjoy the principle of dofen akuma, which basically means that the wall goes up and the wall is bending. The wall made a 90-degree turn, but that's fine. It's still considered part of the wall. Okay, Amar Rabba. Good. That really is almost the totality of the discussion of dofen akuma in terms of its principal discussion. So we have the Mishnah, we have three cases in the Mishnah, and the Gemara's argument of why the Mishnah had to go through three cases. Okay. From this point going forward, Gemara's going to be a little bit tricky. It's not so bad. From this point going forward now, we're going to basically discuss how much area of schach is going to of schach puzzle is going to disqualify the schach. Okay. So in other words, we know that in order to make a kosher sukkah, so I have to have walls, three walls, and I have to lay schach on top. Okay. In a utopia, so we would have the entire horizontal laid with schach. In our Mishnah, we already saw that doesn't have to be. That even if I have schach pasul that is contiguous to the vertical wall, as long as it's less than four amos, that's fine. So we already saw from our Mishnah that the entire surface area of the roof doesn't have to be made up of schach kasher. Okay. But now the question is the following, and this will be the remainder of today's discussion and the remainder of today's daf. What if I have not schach kasher? What if I not have schach pasul? What if I have avir? What if I have air? How much airspace on the top of the sukkah is going to disqualify the sukkah? We already know the answer. Three tefachim. Okay. Good. What if instead of I have air, let's say I have schach pasul. Now, schach pasul minatzad, meaning if it's anywhere near the side, so then I'll be able to say dofen akuma. But what if I have a sukkah where it's not near the side? It's now somewhere in the center of the schach. How much schach pasul in the center of the schach will disqualify my sukkah? That's the question. We are going to be discussing this question for the balance of today's daf. The Gemara starts off. Huh?
The Mishnah means greater than three tefachim on this.
No, and by love, it means three tefachim or greater. or greater. Lavud is, right, in other words, right, if you remember your signs, Lavud is less than three tvachim, right, but if it's equal or greater than, right, with a line underneath, if it's equal or greater than, so then it's, then we don't say Lavud anymore. And by Dofen Akuma, it's up to four amos, but four amos are greater, we don't say Dofen Akuma anymore. How much Shach Pasol in the center of the sukkah is going to disqualify the sukkah? So let's begin. Amarab.
3 by 3 or 3 through the 1?
Well, I'll pinpoint that issue in a little bit. Amarabba. Ashka chasinul rabbana de bay rav. So Rabba says, so I was talking with the yeshiva guys. Okay, conversation between Rabba and the yeshiva guys. Right, de bay rav could in this case literally be the tamidim of rav, although generationally it's a little bit challenging, not so bad, right? The Abai and Rava in terms of the tkufas of the Amorayim. So Rava obviously was generation number one. Abai and Rava you'll put right in the center of the tkufa of the Amorayim, and Ravina Ravashi comes all the way at the end. Rava was a Rebbe to Rav and Abaye, so he is towards the first half. So it could be that he's speaking to the actual students of Rav, but the Bay Rav also just simply means, right, guys learning in the yeshiva. All right, Talmid Chacham Rabbanim, the Yosef Vikamre. So they said Avir Posel B'Shlosha. So they start off with a statement that is not controversial, that if I have airspace, how much airspace is going to disqualify my sukkah three tefachim? Now that's not controversial because our Mishnah said it, okay, and our Mishnah said it flatly. So that we get Schach Posel Ba'Arba'a. But then they make another statement, which is that if I have schach pasul, if I have disqualified schach anywhere within the center of the sukkah, it disqualifies the sukkah at four tfachim or greater than four tfachim. Now again, remember my trick? We're talking about tfachim right now, because it says arba'ah. Arba'ah is lashon zachar. And tfachim is lashon zachar. So it's talking about four tfachim. So their position is that airspace, three tfachim. Schach pasul, four tfachim. Now, why? Hold that question in your mind. We'll come back to that in just a moment. V'amina luhu'ana. Now, Rabba says, I said to them, he's going over the dialogue, Avid deposel b'shosha min alechu. Three tfachim is a posel when it comes to airspace. How do I know that? That's easy. Did none. It's a Mishnah. Here, chik is a sichach min atafana shosha tfachim psula. Okay, that's a Mishnah. So, the three tefach linear measurement of air that disqualifies the sukkah. Not much to think about. The Mishnah tells us so. Schach pasol nami loli pasol ala ba'arba amos. So now, if the Mishnah is the source for airspace, why don't you use the same Mishnah for the source of schach pasol? And in fact, what does our Mishnah tell us? Schach pasol only disqualifies the sukkah at what point? Only at four amos, not four tfachim. So Rabbi says to the students of Rav, where did you get that from? Basically. What happened? You're thinking four tfachim of schach pasul is going to disqualify your entire sukkah? Where did that number come from? And if your three tefach distance came from the Mishnah, so why don't you stay on that very same Mishnah and generate the halacha that schach pasul would be posel at four amos? Not four tfachim. It's a huge difference. Dinan, and then Rava just simply cites the Mishnah. Okay, look at our Mishnah. Now they said to me, meaning again, Rava's recounting the entire dialogue, they said to me, Bar Mina Dahi. No, leave the Mishnah out of the discussion. Meaning, we also know the Mishnah. The Mishnah is an exception. The Mishnah doesn't relate to our discussion. Our Mishnah that gives a four amma measurement, that's based on the principle of Dofen Akuma. Meaning, if that schach pasul is near, if it's proximate to the wall, so then we say it's bent wall. That's the principle of Dofen Akuma. And we all agree, Dofen Akuma extends all the way up to four amos. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. But we're not talking about where the schach pasul is situated proximate to the wall. We're talking about where the schach pasul is somewhere in the center of the sukkah. And what we're saying is that once you have four tfachim of schach pasul, that will disqualify the sukkah. Okay? And the Mishnah is a dofen akuma halacha. So don't bring the Mishnah into the discussion. V'amina luhu ana. Okay, so Rabbi says, good. That was their response. And by the way, they're quoting Rav and Shmuel, which, by the way, makes it sound like they were actual students of Rav and Shmuel. But, okay, either way. V'amina luhu ana. Now, I said, this is Rabbi telling us, Ma'ilu ikatzach pasu pachos me'arba'a v'avir pachos mishlosha mai. Okay, not new subject, but let's follow-up question. Okay, so they're disagreeing about how much chach pasul in the center of your sukkah is going to disqualify the sukkah. Rabbi says 4 amos, because the Mishnah says so, and they say, no, 4 tfachim. And the Mishnah is talking about dofen akuma, a different halacha. Fine. So they disagree. Well, they agree to disagree. Fine. Now, next, follow-up question. Let's say I have schach pasul in the center of my sukkah, which is less than 4 tfachim. Okay? And avir pachos mishlosha. And I have 3 tfachim, or I should say, less than 3 tfachim of air. So in other words, along my sukkah, I have 2 lines of not good schach. 1 line of not good schach is made up of just under 4 tfachim of schach pasul, which according to me is fine anyway. But according to you, it's no good. But it's not 4 tfachim, it's just a shade under 4 tfachim. Okay, so it's the sukkah has not been compromised. And right next to it, contiguous to the just under 4 tfachim of schach pasul, I have a little bit less than 3 tfachim of airspace. So now, in total, I have about 6.5 tfachim of a break between good schach and good schach. Of that 6.5 tfachim, less than, let's say 2.5, I'll throw out numbers. 2.5 tfachim of it is made out of air, and 3.5 tfachim of it is made out of schach pasul. Okay, what do you think? What do you think the halacha would be? Kshera. So they said, well, you're good, because you don't have enough air to disqualify the sukkah, and you don't have enough schach pasul to disqualify the sukkah. And basically what they're saying is, we view those two areas as independent areas. Let's finish the thread, and I'll respond. Maybe. Kshera. So they said, okay, that's fine. Malya bishpudimai. So Rabbi says, okay, he's setting them up. So he says, okay, now let's do the following. Take that air and fill it, but not with schach kasher. Fill it with schach pasul. Right? Put metal rods where the air once was. So what would then be? So now I had 3.5 and 2.5. The 3.5 was schach pasul. The 2.5 was air. I filled the 2.5 of air now with schach pasul. So now what do I have? So okay, fine. So now I have a total of 6 tfachim of schach pasul. No good. So v'lo yehi avir haposel b'shlosha keschach pasul haposel ba'arba'a. So Rabbi says, So I don't understand. You're being more lenient with airspace than you are with schach pasul, meaning you won't consider combining the schach pasul on the air to create now a break in the sukkah. But meanwhile, if I took that very same airspace and I filled it with schach pasul, so then you'll say, oh, that's no good. So I don't I'm not following you. Rabbi says to the Bay Rav, to the students of Rav, I'm simply not following you. You're treating the air more leniently than had it been that schach pasul actually filled that airspace. Okay.
Why is that a problem?
Well, more to discuss. Okay, yeah.
So we had yesterday with the love that doesn't bridge the gap. I mean, the love doesn't, he's trying to get a bridge the gap.
Right.
So according to the Hagman here, what are they bridging the gap with?
Right. So what they're gonna argue, which the Gemara is about to point out, is that those are two independent areas. Totally unrelated to one another. And so therefore, we treat each one in of itself. So what is it bridging it to? It's bridging it to something. Now that something happens not to be schach kasher. Granted, admitted.
What's it bridging it with? It's bridging it with kosher schach, even though there's no kosher schach.
In other words, so the gap, which is less than 3 tfachim, is going to bridge it to the schach pasul. Okay, fine. So now I've closed that gap. Now granted that, now I'm up to the next stumbling block. Now it's schach pasul. Yeah, but it's less than 4 tfachim. So that's fine also.
I think that lovud is used for a quill, not a chumrah. It's used to give you a leniency.
They're being lenient. Yeah. No, they're being lenient. It's he, Rabbah.
But if he had less than 4 tfachim of schach pasul on 2 sides of an of air, Okay, could you say that there's a lover between the two and they combine?
You could, for sure you could say that. Let's deal with the case at hand. Okay, so they have a little bit less of three of air, a little bit less of four of the schach pasul. Rabbi says to the Bei Rav, gentlemen, I explain this to me. You're right. How can it be that that doesn't combine, but if I took that very same air and I filled it with schach pasul, so then you're going to nod at me and you're going to say, oh no, that's no good. That's no good. And the air was okay? That's Rabbi's challenge to the Bei Rav. Amru li. Okay, more back and forth. So they say to Rabbah, look, your challenge may be good, but can we do the following? Meaning, can we just lay the same challenge out to you? Look, you disagree. You think that Schach Pasul is not going to disqualify the Sukkah at four Tfachim. Grant, okay, I got it. And you say it's four Amos. Fine. Okay, but we'll just simply formulate the same challenge to you based on your measurement. So now, Damar Tzchach Pasul Posel Barba Amos. We know you think that Tzchach Pasul is only a Posel for Amos. Ma Eloika Tzchach Pasul Pachus Midal Amos. Ve'avir Pachus Mishlosha. Mai. So we'll do the same thing based on your measurements. I'll have two areas in the center of your sukkah. One is a gap, an air gap of less than three Tvachim. One is Tzchach Pasul, less than four Amos, because that's Rabba's position. And what are you going to tell me? Ksheira. All right, so you're going to tell me all's good, great sukkah. Can't wait to eat inside. Malya b'shpudim. And then what if we took that same air gap of air, and let's say I filled it up with metal rods? So my, so psula. So and then you're going to say to me, oh, this sukkah's no good now. So once again, you challenged us, but I don't understand. The same challenge could we go right back at you? Lo ye alver apostel b'shosha kitzchach pasul apostel ba'ar ba'amos. So now, if it's airspace, you're lenient. If I fill in the airspace, now you're going to be machmir. You're going to be stringent. Well, what's the difference? I don't get it. Meaning, good. We also are struggling with the challenge, but aren't you struggling with the same challenge? The amina lu ana and Rabba. Now you realize, by the way, Rabba's telling us the dialogue, so you already know that Rabba's going to get the last word in this dialogue. So the amina lu ana. Now I said hi mai. Meaning, I said, look, I'm not bothered. My four amos and my three tfachim of air don't bother me at all. Why not? Bishlam alididida mina arba amos mishum shiura v'lav shiura hu. High love shiura hu. Kevin delo shabu shiurai lahada de lo mitstarfe. Rambam says, I'm not bothered because look, where are all these measurements coming from? Halach lamosh misinai. When it comes to air, three tfachim. When it comes to schach pasul, four amos. I didn't manufacture these numbers. These numbers are all halacha Moshe Misinai. And by virtue of the fact that they're different numbers, you know what that says? They're different entities. The less than three tefachim gap of air, that's one entity. How do I know that? Because the Torah says it will disqualify a sukkah at three tefachim. The four amos, or I should say less than four amos of schach pasul, won't disqualify a sukkah, but four amos will. Why? Once again, halacha Moshe Misinai. But by virtue of the fact that it has a different size measurement, a different linear measurement, that's its own separate entity. So from my standpoint, the three tefachim and the four amos do not combine, or the just short of three tefachim and just short of four amos don't combine, for the very simple reason that they are two distinct and separate entities. Good. But now let's turn to you. But now I turn to you. And Amrita Shir Mishum Haflaga. You see, what did you generate? You are saying that Hamashach Pasul on the top of your sukkah disqualifies your sukkah for Tzvachim. Now, where did you get that from? Okay, now don't take me out of context. You manufactured that number. Okay, don't take me out of context. Okay, you manufactured that number. That's, you didn't see that in the Mishnah. There's no Mishnah or Braisa that records that number. You came up with that misvara. That was an argument you made for Tzvachim. What is the argument? Rashi explains over here on the Gemara. The argument is, we've seen time and again, for Tzvachim is a makam chashav. It's its own independent entity. I can't make the jump from good schach to good schach if the distance separating them is a four tefach area. Now, if it's air, three tefachim, but we know, lavud. Meaning, once you're three tefachim, you've now gone beyond the lavud allowance. And so therefore, when it comes to air, three tefachim. When it comes to four tefachim, it's makam chashuv. It's a significant area. But you didn't see that in the Mishnah, you didn't see it in the Braisa. That's not halacha Moshe Misinai. That's svara. That's your argument. So basically, let's think about this now. This is Rabba's argument to the Bei Rav. So you're three for air and you're four of schach pasol, even though they are, it's different numbers, but principally, it's the same basic issue. I can't jump from one good schach to the other good schach. By air, it's three tefachim. By, if you actually have material, it's four tefachim. But that's not a halacha l'moshe misinai. That's a svara. And the svara is, I just simply can't make the jump from point A to point B. So now, you see, for me, three tefachim, four amos, two totally separate entities. Guided by two totally separate rules. Dofen akuma, lavud. But your four tefach, that's not a concept, I should say rather. That's not a halacha l'moshe misinai. That's your thought process. And the thought process of four tefachim is not that different than the thought process of three tefachim of air. And so now I say to you, so why won't the three and four combine if it's based on your svara?
Yeah, but there's a problem. Under three, it's lavud. They still said lavud, so it's not there. There's no air space under three. So you can't now say under three and under four.
Yeah, but you're jumping. In other words,
it's not flogged of four. I get that.
Yeah. But okay, good.
Lavud tells you, lavud is not just not flogged, it's a din that closes the gap.
Right. In other words, when all said and done, what do I need to do to get from one schach to the other schach? I need to go. In this case, I write you got to jump six tefachim. I mean, I hear you. I understand. Love it allows us to ignore it. Okay, but brass taxes. Meaning, when all said and done, it's a jump. It's a jump to get from point A to point B. So the Gemara says, fine. So Mali's palag b'schach pasul. Mali's palag b'schach pasul va'avir. Okay. So that was Rabba's argument. So again, so what we got from all this is a lengthy debate between Rabba and the Talmidim of Rav regarding how much schach pasul. Can schach pasul and avir combine? His position, Rabba's position, of course they don't combine. Two totally separate concepts. And according to Talmid and Rav, they're also going to argue they don't combine. But as the Gemara pointed out, it's harder for them to argue that. But they would argue that as well. Okay, let's take stock. Where are we right now in the Gemara? We're discussing how much schach pasul in the center of your sukkah is going to disqualify your sukkah. Again, if it's next to the wall, we have the principle of Dofen Akuma. If it's in the center of the sukkah, so now we have a debate. The debate is between the students of Rav, quoting Rav and Shmuel, who say that four tefachim of schach pasul disqualifies your sukkah, and the Rabba, who says no, even in the center of your sukkah, four amos will disqualify your sukkah. Four amos of anything, doesn't matter. Now, it can't be air.
Could this be going back to the debate that Rav and Shmuel had regarding the argument between Rav and Rav in terms of
we'll come back to that. That's coming up. That's coming up in just a moment. Okay. Now, why is chach pasul going to disqualify your sukkah? Okay. So, and let's just go over. I promised this point a little bit earlier today. The reason is very simple. When I have four tefachim of chach pasul, now let's assume like the students of Rav, they quote Rav and Shmuel. When I have four tefachim of chach pasul. So basically, now I can't bridge the gap. Meaning, it's not a lavud issue. Lavud is airspace less than three tefachim. It's just that now it's substance, it's material, not fit for schach. And now basically, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to jump to go from schach kasher to schach kasher, and four tefachim is too far. And so what? Meaning, okay, good. And what does that do? It basically takes your sukkah and then now it splits it into two. So Tosus makes the observation, fine. If I have a line of schach going from the back third wall, in other words, if everyone wants to visualize with me, meaning I have a simple three-sided sukkah, and now I have the schach pasul running parallel with the two walls, going from the back of the third wall all the way to the front of the sukkah, so that's going to take apart your sukkah. Because basically what that will do is, it will now divide the sukkah where I have now two sukkahs. The sukkah on the right only has two walls, the sukkah on the left only has two walls. Fine. If the schach pasul, Tosfos makes this, Tosfos is back on Yudzayin Amud Aleph. If the schach pasul is running now perpendicular to the two walls and running now across the sukkah, so Tosfos says, okay, it'll divide your sukkah, but it may not be the end of the world. Because now, that which is behind the schach pasul, meaning against the back wall, as long as you have the minimum dimensions of 7x7, as long as you have those minimum dimensions, you do have the three walls, so then the back would be good, and the front, oh, you can argue. But in other words, but in that case over there, your schach pasul won't disqualify. Meaning, the way Tosfos understands it, schach pasul isn't just a blanket disqualification. Schach pasul, what it effectively does, is it splits the sukkah. So depending on how the split actually went, would actually determine whether the sukkah is good or no good. Our Gemara, the way it sounds like from our Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara is saying, oh, it's just no good. Okay, you got to start again.
If you have four walls, definitely.
Correct. Or in other words, right. If you have four walls, then you have schach pasul running either way. In either orientation, it'd be fine. Point taken. But in other words, Tosfos says that the schach pasul is not, there's nothing inherently wrong with schach pasul. It's just what it's going to do now. It's just going to take your sukkah and divide half. That's where there's a mixture between the two. Here we're talking about it's actually separate areas. Schach kasher, schach pasul, back to schach kasher. Okay, let's finish up. We have more Gemara we need to do. We are on Yudzayin Amud Beis. So the Rambam goes. It's a machlo. This I researched. I looked into it. The Rambam follows like the Talmidim of Rav, meaning like Rav and Shmuel. And
only four
Tefachim. Okay. Amale Abaye, Ula Mar Nami. And then the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam. The discussion, which is unclear, is can I sit on, in other words, let's say I have less than four Tefachim, can I sit under it? Right, that's a discussion. Okay, but anyway, Amale Abaye Lamar Nami Nehidol Shavishirai Besukah Gadol Besukah Katanim Lo Shavishirayu. So Abaye says, you know, I'm still not buying into Rabbah, meaning I still think that even according to Rabbah, the four Amos or just under four Amos of Schach Pasul and just under three Tefachim of Avir, I think they should combine. Why? Because in a very limited scenario, but in a scenario, three tefachim of schach pasul is going to disqualify your sukkah. How so? In a sukkah katana. Let's say I have a base minimum sukkah. What's the base minimum sukkah?
7x7.
Okay. And of that seven tefachim now, three tefachim is now made up of schach pasul. Now, no good. It's just too small. Or the way Rashi describes it, al karchach echad zev echad zev psul begimel tefachim dekeven de nafak mitoris lavur. Meaning, because now I have a base minimum sukkah of 7x7, and because I now have three tefachim of schach pasul, I can't say love it anymore, because it's three tefachim, and now I've taken my seven tefach sukkah, and I've reduced it to four tefach.
Why can't we disregard schach pasul and use love it?
No, because love it is only less than three tefachim. This is the you placed three actual tefachim. So it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that I can find one scenario. Again, it's very limited, but I can find one scenario where schach pasul will disqualify even at the point of three tefachim. So at least we've leveled the playing field in one scenario. So Abaye says, so if we level the playing field in one scenario, so that means they're combinable. So the counter argument to that is very simple. That's not a schach issue. That's just simply the size of the sukkah issue. I just simply don't have a sukkah large enough, the base minimum requirement. But there's nothing wrong with the schach per se. Just simply I no longer have a good sukkah. I no longer have a large enough sukkah. Period. Okay, good. So again, lengthy discussion between Rav and the Talmidim of Rav. Follow-up discussion between Abaye to this discussion. Okay, and we move on. The Rambam also says three tefachim. But that's universal. That the Mishnah says. No. Three tefachim. Less than three tefachim, we say lavud. And at the point of three tefachim, so that's it. Disqualifies your sukkah. So the Gemara now, we're going to get treated to a couple of Mishnayos and Kalim. So Mishnah number one, Habegesh Losha Shosha Sakar Balarba Haor Chamisha Chamisha Mapetz Meshisha Al Shisha. Depending on the material that I use, will assign a base minimum amount of material that will be Mekabel Tuma. So if it is actual cloth, so it's 3x3. Shlosha al shlosha tvachim. When it comes to sack, it's 4x4. Okay, and hide, it's 5x5. Mapatz, that's reed, a material made out of reed, like a wicker basket. So it's 6x6. V'tniyala. And on that, we have another braisa. Habega v'asak, asak v'or, or v'amapatz, mitzarfin, zem zeh. They combine, meaning if I make a patchwork of different materials, they combine. So the Gemara says, they're not the same shiur, and they're combining. So the Gemara says, why should that be? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hasam k'diktani time, Amar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, well, we have another Mishnah in Kalim, and the other Mishnah in Kalim explains. Ma ta'am, why? Hol v'roi, l'tami, Moshev k'dinan. So the Gemara says, because at one point, they all share a universal shiur, and that is Tumas Moshev. Meaning if they're made for a seat or a patch of a seat, so there, it is universe, doesn't matter what the material is, the shear is going to be one tefach by one tefach. Kedidnan, we learn another Mishnah in Kalim, HaMekatzei HaMekulam Tefach HaTefach Tameh, Tefach HaTefach Lamai Chazir, the Gemara says, Tefach by Tefach, right, well, that's going to be a seat. V'am Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Mishim Rabbi Yanai, Hol V'rai, Litlo Agabe Chamor, because you can put it on the back of a donkey. So on the saddle of a donkey. In other words, yeah, it could be used as a small patch for the saddle of a donkey. In other words, they're going to combine your mappets, your oar, your beged, your sock. They're going to combine, even though they have different shiurim, but for the halacha of Moshav, they universally all have the same shiur, and so since there's a universal point, so therefore they combine. Besura amri lahashmaita b'hai lishna. Now, in the yeshiva and surah, two main yeshivas in Bavel. One surah, the other in Arda. So in the yeshiva of surah, so how did they learn it? The way we just described. Bin Arda, Masnu, and Narda, they had the same discussion, but different attribution. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Schach, Pasal Be'emsa Posel Ba'ar Ba'ah, Minatzad Posel Ba'ar Ba'amos. Shmuel says, how much Schach Pasal in the middle of your sukkah? 4 Tvachim. How much Schach Pasal towards the side of your sukkah? 4 Amos. Good. So Virav Amar Bein Minatzad Bein Minatzad Ba'ar Ba'amos. And Rav says, no, it's 4 Amos, whether it's on the side or whether it's in the middle. Okay, in this Naharda version,
it's the total opposite of what we learned.
Not the total opposite, but in this Naharda version, so Rav is going like Rabbah of the Surah version. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. We saw this Mishnah earlier. Nasan alan nesr shu rachav arba atfachim ksher bishlam le Rav damra bein bemsa bein minatzad barba amos misham hachi kshera. Now, 4 tfachim, so good. Doesn't matter if it's in the side or doesn't matter in the middle. Elo shmol damra bemsa barba amai kshera. But according to 4, if I have 4 tfachim in the middle of my sukkah, Shmuel's of the opinion that that's going to disqualify your sukkah. So, hachab amaiskin aminatzad. So, Shmuel's response is, yeah, that price you just quoted, the 4 tfachim bim, why doesn't it disqualify your sukkah? Because it's contiguous to the side, it's proximate to the side, dofnakuma, tashma. We'll do one more for today. Shnei sadim and starfin, shnei nastar name and starfin, Rebbe Meir, omen nastar and kistadinim. Two beams next to one another, according to the Tanakama, don't combine. Two sheets next to one another will combine. And Rabbi Meir, Omer, Nisam Kisadinim, and Rabbi Meir says that a beam is like a sheet, meaning they do combine. Bisham Allah Lishandam Rabbim Bam Sabim Sad Baraba Amos Maim Starfin Ladal Amos. Now I certainly understand that according to Rav, combining, why? Because according to Rav, your sukkah will not be disqualified until you get to the point of 4 amos. So they're combining towards the shear of 4 amos. El Allah Lishna Damarabemsabarba Hechidami. So now, according to the version that it's not 4 amos, but it's 4 tfachim, so the Gemara says, so now combination towards what? It's the roof. Now, if the beam is four tzvachim, one beam by itself, right? Say goodbye to your sukkah. It's not good. And now, if it's not four tzvachim, combination towards what? Meaning, it's kanim. That's twigs. It's kasher tzach. La'olam di isbu arba'a. So the Gemara says, no, the beams were actually four tfachim. Well, my mitzarfin la'abros min atzad. And again, it's a four tefach beam, and combining towards what? Dofen akumo. Again, same basic point. We're talking about min atzad, we're not talking about be'emtza. Okay. Today we started the Mishnah, which introduced us to the idea of dofen akumo. Three examples in the Mishnah of dofen akumo. Why three? The Gemara went on to explain. And then the other big discussion, today's daf, is chach pasal. How much chach pasal is going to disqualify my sukkah? So again, from the side, we have dofen akumo. So you can go up to four amos. In the center, machlokas. According to the first version, Rabbi says four amos, Rav and Shmuel say four tfachim. In the Nahardah version, Rav says four amos, bein minatzad, bein be'emsa. Shmuel says that be'emsa is four tfachim. And the Gemara basically finishes up the day defending the position of Shmuel. And as I mentioned, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both go like Shmuel.